morning. So glad that you are here. I look around and I'm encouraged by what I see God doing in the body of Christ. I'm excited. Continue to be excited about this series. And this morning, we want to talk. In fact, if you were not here last week, the last week's message was the introduction message to this series, and it kind of sets the groundwork for what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. It is important for this morning as well. As you remember, we talked about relationships and how God has created us for relationships. And it is within relationships, in the New Testament, relationships are the context in which we live out our faith. There are no Long Ranger Christians. We live out our faith in the context of relationships. And then we talked about the tension that there is between the ideal and the real in our lives, and how that God is always calling us to the ideal and giving us grace for the real. Because that's what relationships, there is an ideal that we are aiming for, but he gives us grace to live in the real. By the way, I want to mention, next week I'm going to share with you one question that will reduce stress and tension in your relationships. One question, if you can get everybody in your family to ask this one question, it will reduce stress and tension in your relationship. So I hope that kind of intrigues you, a little bait there, a little hook there for next week. This morning, I want to talk with you about what I believe is the biggest issue in relationships, and it's roadblocks. I want to talk with you about removing roadblocks in our relationships, removing roadblocks in our relationships this morning. And to set that up, I want to talk with you a little bit about, have any of you ever been an eyewitness to an accident or a crime of some sort? An eyewitness? You know what's interesting about eyewitness testimony? Do you know that in 72% of the cases that were overturned by DNA last year, eyewitness testimony played a part in wrongly convicting someone? Eyewitness testimony is scientifically proven to be almost completely and totally unreliable. Now, it is a piece of evidence, but in and of itself, scientifically and socially, through social science, it's been proven that eyewitness testimony is almost completely unreliable. In fact, eyewitness testimony has, some of the study that has proven that the mind is not like a tape recorder. It does not record exactly what you see and hear. It interprets it and records that. Well, what is the point of all that to relationships this morning? Here it is. Here's what I know about relationships. All relationships have wrecks. Some are fender benders. Some are 25 car pileups with fatalities. And in every one of those wrecks, reconciliation is needed. The problem is we are our own eyewitnesses to the wreck. Are you hearing me? If I have a wreck in my relationship, I am my own star witness. Put me on the stand, because I saw it and I experienced it and I know. This morning, I want you to stay with me, because I'm going to walk through some things, and I'll tell you, you have to stick with me this morning all the way through, because I'm going to say some things this morning that's going to challenge you, and if you fall off in the middle, you'll never make it out of here, okay? You got to stick with me through the end, because we need the Holy Spirit's help in removing roadblocks in our relationships, amen? Amen. Father, I thank you and I praise you this morning for the privilege we have to come and to allow your Spirit, and we ask you to come and to speak into our lives right now. Holy Spirit, we open ourselves to you. No biases, no hindrances, no prejudices. We open ourselves to the truth of your word. Speak it into our lives today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I told you last week that Paul wrote a letter, and much of what he wrote, he talked about relationships. And when he was writing to the Colossians, he said to them, he was talking with them about living in the context of their community, and when he did, how to live out Christ in their community, and he pointed to relationships. And I took you to a text last week, and I want to put it back on the screen this morning, and I have emboldened one phrase. I want to pull one phrase out of it. I can't go through the whole text this morning. You have to go back and listen to last week's message for that. But the one phrase that I want us to concentrate on this morning, the one verse is bear, the word there is endure. Everybody say endure. Patiently. Say it again. Endure patiently with each other and forgive grievances. That grievances means quarrels, fights. Endure patiently with each other and forgive grievances or quarrels or fights you may have against one another. And here it is, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now I'm telling you, that's a huge issue. There's no way this morning to talk about forgiveness and repentance and reconciliation in its entire, that's a series all by itself. So that this morning, for the purposes of this morning, I want to narrow our discussion about how those things relate to reconciliation in our relationship. So let's talk about that just for a moment. The first thing we need to understand is what we're actually talking about here. When we talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is an interesting, the word there, forgive, that last part of that, forgive as the Lord forgave you, the word there, forgive, actually is divine favor. It is a divine kindness that is showed to us. It is the word there is the purpose is for a pardon or a rescue. Forgiveness gives a way out. Forgiveness gives a way out, and that is what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about forgiveness. He said, "Forgive as the Lord forgave you." You see, the forgiveness, watch this now, the forgiveness that Paul is talking about, this kind favor, listen to me now, when Paul says, "Forgive as the Lord forgave you," what he's pointing back to, he's saying this. He's saying, "Forgive like Christ forgave you." And the word there, forgive, that divine kindness, watch this, forgiveness is based on who God is. When the word there, forgive, it's divine kindness. It's divine favor. It is based on who God is. So watch this now. Stay with me and listen to me for a minute. Forgiveness then, watch this, is based on the worthiness of the one giving it, not on the one receiving it. This is a hang up for a lot of us when it comes to forgiveness. Because we sometimes think that forgiveness is a justification of the other person's character. That somehow we are pronouncing on them that it's okay, it's all right, everything's okay. That is not, listen, when Jesus forgave me, he loved me while I was yet a sinner. And this hangs some people up when it comes to forgiveness because a lot of times when it comes to forgiveness, we misunderstand what is going on here. Watch this. Forgiveness is based on the character of the one giving the forgiveness, not on the one receiving. You understand? You and I forgive because of the character of Christ in me. You forgive because of the character of Christ in you, not necessarily because of the character of the individual that is receiving it. Not understanding that hangs some people up because you can look and you can see, you can look into their lives, they have no character. They have it changed. They're the same person they've always been. And I'm just not going to forgive that. Listen to me. Now, here's what I'm telling you. If you don't listen to me to the end, you're going to fall off here. You forgive because of Christ in you. And the character of Christ in you. Listen to me. Forgiveness is not a statement about the one that is being forgiven. Forgiveness is a statement about the one who's doing the forgiving. When God forgives me, it's a statement about his love. It's a statement about his nature. It's a statement about his character. It's about a statement about his mercy. It's a statement about his grace. It's a statement about his all-encompassing, all-forgiving love for me. Me, the one who needs forgiving, listen, we have no character. We aren't deserving it. We aren't worthy of it. He forgives because of who he is. Because of who he is. Let me say that statement again. Forgiveness is not a statement about the one being forgiven. It's a statement about the one doing the forgiving. So if we want to be like Christ and in our forgiveness, we're going to have to forgive as Christ forgave. Now, that's what's interesting here is we come to this second part of this. Forgive as Christ forgave. Now, let me back up. I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, oh, wait a minute. Okay. You mean forgiveness is not a sanction of who that person is. And I know some of you are thinking, okay. I can do that now that I can forgive them and still think they're a scumbag. I can do that. Okay, now I get it. Now I get it. But there's more to it. He says, forgive as Christ forgave you. That word there is interesting. In fact, the word forgive as Christ forgave you, the phrase in the original language, the word forgive doesn't even occur twice. It's more of a sentence that says, forgive just like Christ did. Just like Christ did for you, do it. Just like Christ forgave you, do it. Just in the same way that he gave you. You understand what Paul's saying here? Paul is saying, watch this now, forgiveness is not a function of something that you get from the other person. I told you it was going to challenge you now. Forgiveness, my act of forgiveness is not a function, can never be a function of something I get from the other person. Forgiveness is a function of the fact that I've already gotten forgiveness from God. Forgiveness is a response to having been forgiven. It is not a response to what the other person does or doesn't do, is or is not. It's a response to the fact that God has forgiven. Read it. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now listen, I know this is tough. I know it's tough because we sat here this morning. There are individuals. Some are in your first marriage, and there are issues there. Maybe you're in second or third marriage, or maybe you're not married at all. Some of you have teenagers that are off, and you have strained relationships with adult children. And some of you are working in workplaces that are corrosive. I get all of that. I understand all that. But you understand, don't you, this morning, that what Paul was talking about with forgiveness has very little to do with the other people. It has to do with you and God. It's who he is and who he is and what he has done in your life and what he has spoken, what he has said in your life this morning. You understand this morning? I forgive and you forgive because God has forgiven us. We forgive because we've experienced forgiveness in our own life. Now, when you talk about it, that's what Paul is saying here. He's framing this. He's saying, you understand what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is a function of God and God's character in you, and forgiveness, when you forgive as Christ forgave, you forgive not because you're going to gain something from the other person, but because you've already gained something from God. I've been given new life. I've been given his spirit. I've been given the fruits of the spirit and the gifts of the spirit working in my life. He has adopted me and he has made me his own. I am a child of God. I don't need anything from the other person to forgive because I'm fulfilled. I've been given all I need in Christ so I can offer forgiveness. It's not even, they don't deserve it any more than I deserved it from God. They aren't worthy of it any more than I was worthy of it from God. But Christ's character in me allows me to forgive and allows you to forgive. Now what is that? How does that work out functionally? And that's where I want to talk for the next 10 minutes or so. I want to talk about what all of this is up here this morning. As you see, I got a cross here in the middle, and the Lord has shown me this illustration weeks ago. And I just want to, I'll share with functionally, what is that? What is going on when it comes to forgiveness, and what does that have to do with reconciliation? What does that mean for us? I just want to talk about that for a few moments. I've crossed up here with cones on either side, and one side of this represents forgiveness. The other side of this represents repentance. And I want to talk functionally about these two sides, these two paths, because what they are, these are paths to the point of reconciliation. Forgiveness and repentance are paths to the point, to the place of reconciliation in your life and in my life. Now just follow and walk along with me for just a moment here. You see, understand, God, out of his character, set behind the cross all of my sins. He removed the roadblocks to reconciliation so that I could arrive at the point of reconciliation, being reconciled by him. In fact, one verse in 2 Corinthians puts it this way. It says, he took all of the offenses of your life and he dismissed them by nailing them to the cross. You understand what he was doing? Sylvia, he was removing the roadblocks in our relationship. Here's what he knew. Listen to me. Listen to me. He knew I could not move these. He knew in my relationship with him, I could not move them. You know why? Because in my relationship with him, I'm way over here. I can't remove those things. So he, by Christ on the cross, he said, Glenn, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to take your roadblocks and I'm going to set them aside. I'm going to offer you forgiveness. I'm going to offer you an opportunity to get to the place of reconciliation. And you understand that. You understand that. Forgiveness, when you understand it that way, forgiveness then, watch this, is the power to move to the point of reconciliation. If you are in our relationship, we are to what? Forgive as Christ forgave. What that means is, you understand, don't you, that the person who has offended you, the person who has hurt you, the person who has done you wrong, and I do, listen, I want to be sure that you understand what I'm saying this morning. I am not diminishing by preaching this forgiveness. I'm not in any way diminishing the hurt that you feel, the experience that you've had. I understand it's real. I understand some of you have been abandoned. Some of you have been hurt. Some of you have been stabbed in the back. I understand you have relationships. I understand that. But this morning, I'm trying to understand is the power of this. Listen to me. The people in your life who have offended you, They cannot move the roadblocks to forgiveness. The forgiveness, they can't move it. They're over here. You understand what I'm saying? They're over here. They can't move. They're over here on this side. They're behind this road. They can't get to those things. But you can. You listen to me this morning. You can move the roadblocks between you and the point of reconciliation. And you understand what that means is that when you remove those roadblocks, no matter what they do, no matter if they ever respond, no matter if it ever makes a difference at all, when you remove the roadblocks, you are standing at the foot of the cross at the point of reconciliation. You are empowered when you stand here, church. He forgave us. He forgave us. Forgiveness empowers me to move those roadblocks in my life. I will not allow unforgiveness to block me away from the cross. I will forgive. Now, the other side of that is this. The other side of that is this. God, in my life, he moved the roadblocks to forgiveness. But what he could do but chooses not to do because he knows it's necessary for me, God will not remove the roadblocks of repentance in my life. He's empowered me to do that. You see, repentance is admitting the wrong, saying I'm sorry, saying please forgive me. And you understand when you do that, when you in here, up here, when you do that, when you say I was wrong. In fact, can we just practice that? Everybody, I was wrong. You didn't die. You're still breathing. We need to practice that. I was wrong. Listen to me. When you do that, when you say I was wrong, when you say I am sorry, when you say I know that I hurt you, When you say, I know that I injured you, when you say, I know, and I deeply repent of that, when you do that, you end up at the foot of the cross. And let me tell you why that's important. That's absolutely necessary, because you're going to have some people in your life who are not going to move the blocks of forgiveness. They're not going to forgive. They're not going to move on there. But listen to me, if you will repent, you will end up at the foot of the cross, at the place of reconciliation. That's a powerful place to be, at the place of reconciliation. It's absolutely crucial that we understand that, and we know that this morning. That there are two paths that bring us, there are two paths that bring us to the place of reconciliation. Two paths that bring us to a place of being reconciled with God and removing those roadblocks and bringing us to that place. Listen to me this morning. 2 Corinthians says, godly sorrow leads to repentance. Godly sorrow means remorse. I am sorry. I ask your forgiveness. I will do my best to not hurt you again. In fact, repentance actually means a turning of the mind and the will and the heart. It is a turning away. A turning away. So you understand, don't you, that you and I are facing away from the cross. Repentance allows me to turn and to face the cross and move in the direction of the cross when I repent. When I say to my wife, when I've hurt her feelings, and I say to her, I'm sorry. I love you. Please forgive me. Those should be the three. Those should be the four easiest phrases for Christians to say. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. What is it? It's the language of repentance. Why would we stop away? Why would we shy away from it? Now here's what's absolutely crucial that we understand this morning. Listen to me, there's two or three things that just absolutely understand this morning. When we walk along this path and we move these things out of the way, there are going to be some times in your life, and I just want to speak to two, I want to make two or three, four practical applications to this, because I think this is where we live. Now, I told you about the ideal and the real. We've talked about the ideal, and let me tell you, there's a tension between that, and it's a good thing, because that tension always points us to the ideal, pulls us to the ideal, but gives us grace to live in the real. And here's what I can tell you. I know, sitting in this room right here this morning, that there's some individuals. You've removed the roadblocks to forgiveness. I mean, you've removed the roadblocks to reckoning. You have forgiven. The reality of it this morning is there are some this morning that you've done everything you know to forgive. You've removed every roadblock you know. In your heart, you've done everything you know to do to forgive and to move on and to move to the point of reconciliation. But there is no repentance. There is no change. Listen to me, I'm talking about the real this morning. Are you with me? There is no change. There is no repentance. There's no difference on the other side of the equation. And here's what I want you to know this morning. You do not have to live in bondage if you have forgiven. Listen to me. If you have forgiven, you've done everything. Now don't cheat on this. Don't cheat on this. I'm not giving you permission to cheat on this. Okay? But what I am saying to you, because here's what I know. I know good people who have forgiven. They've moved every roadblock they know how to move. They've done everything in their power. They know how to forgive and put it to the side. And they stand here at the point of reconciliation. And there is no remorse. And there is no repentance. And there is no change. If that's you this morning, I want you to know you can stand at the foot of the cross in the power of forgiveness without guilt, my friend. Do not feel guilty. Guilty for that, my friend. You've done what you can do. Okay? It's one of the realities of that this morning. On the other hand, there are some individuals here this morning that you've been the offender. You've been on the other side of the cross, and you've been the offender. And I know, because I know people that live in this place. And you've done everything you know to do to say, I'm sorry. You've done everything you know to do to say, I repent. You've done everything you know to do to make it right and make restitution. You've done everything you do, and you stand here, and there is not any forgiveness on the other side. Now, I'm going to tell you, too, don't cheat on this. You can't cheat on repentance. God knows the heart. You can't cheat on this. But if you do find yourself where you've done, you truly have repented, you've tried to make restitution, you've tried to make things right, you've done all that you can do, and you stand here at the foot of the cross, I'm telling you, you can stand here without guilt for there not being reconciliation if you've done everything you can to forgive, because you can't control their side. You can't control their side. There's some teaching out there that puts people in condemnation because they don't understand forgiveness and reconciliation, and it hinges on if the relationship is not reconciled. If the relationship is not reconciled, you haven't done something right. No, it's possible to do everything you know to do on forgiveness or everything you know to do on the repentance, and it's just not going to be reconciled. Why? Because it takes both sides of the equation. You know, Pastor, are you sure about? Listen to me. Even God requires repentance for reconciliation. Even God. What? Listen to me this morning. The idea that I'm supposed to forgive and just go on, and whether they repent or not, I'm supposed to just go on as though nothing's ever happened. You understand? Even God doesn't do that. God requires repentance for mine and his relationship to be reconciled. Are you following me? Are you hearing me this morning? And sometimes we put that burden on people that is simply not there. Now, what you cannot do, you cannot, if you've removed all those roadblocks to forgiveness, and you stand here and there is no repentance, what you cannot do is go back and start putting them back. It's not permission to get your feelings hurt again and get angry again and get mad again. It's not permission for that at all. On the other side of things, when you're over here and you've moved, you've done everything you know to do, you've moved these cones, there's roadblocks, and you stand here and you've repented, you've done everything that you know to do. Listen to me. God purposes forgiveness in reconciliation. Reconciliation cannot happen without forgiveness. It cannot happen. And I think there are likely, I started to say four individuals, but there are four places in this that we just need to understand this morning. And I think we've seen forgiveness and reconciliation through such a narrow lens that we get in bondage sometimes. One is, if you stand over here, yes. Pastor, do I have to forgive? Did God forgive you? Yes, you have to forgive. Pastor, do I have to repent? Do I have to humble myself and lower myself and actually say I'm sorry? Yes. Then the other part is that is there are some times when you forgive, you've done everything you can do, and they're not going to repent. And there are some times when you've repented and you've done everything you know to do, and they're not going to forgive, but you stand in the power of forgiveness and repentance. Now, as I try to just pull this together, try to close this up, I want to just say a couple of things to you about this morning that is absolutely crucial that you understand. Two cautions this morning, and one of them is this: you're going to need some help with this. You're going to need some help with this. Do you know why? Because of what I said at the beginning. You are an eyewitness to your own wreck in your relationship. You are your own eyewitness. And can I tell you, from 30 years of ministry and 51 years, 30, 29 years of ministry, 30 years of marriage and 51 years of life, can I tell you, It ain't like you see it. We're our own eyewitness. You know what you're going to need? You're going to need the witness of the Spirit. You're going to need the witness. Listen to me. This is ugly business. You understand what I'm telling you? I'm not pretending to tell you this is easy or this is pretty or this is some nice little fix. I'm not saying that at all. This is ugly business. This requires prayer and it requires time in the Word. This is going to require some blood, sweat, and tears. I'm not telling you this is easy. I'm telling you the Spirit will be there as your witness to help you through this process. He will. And you can live free. You can live victorious. You can walk the path and end up at the point of reconciliation, no matter which side of this you're on. In fact, all of us end up on both of these sides from time to time. We've all needed to forgive and we've all needed to repent. And you're going to need some help with this. The good news is the Spirit is there to help you. You may also need some more help with this. You may need a godly mentor in your life. You may need somebody to come along beside you and say, Glenn, you're just not seeing it right. Do you remember what eyewitnesses do? Eyewitnesses, they see and they hear, and they don't record, they interpret. And you and I, the wrecks in our life, we've interpreted them. And what we interpret them through our emotions, our feelings, our hurts, our prejudices, right? Our preconceived thoughts. You're going to need some help with this. The good news is the Spirit is there to help you. And if you're part of this community, there are mentors in the church who will help you walk through that process. The Spirit will help you do this. And you can arrive at the foot of the cross, which is the most powerful place to live. Second caution here is this. You're not only going to need some help, but you and I, you're going to need to keep doing this. I know. I know. Listen to me. This is not a one-time thing. This is not a one-time thing. You have to keep doing this. Either that or become a hermit and go live by yourself. And then you will offend yourself. You might say, Pastor, how long do I have to keep forgiving? How long do I have to keep repenting and setting those things to the side? How long do I have to keep doing that? Let me tell you when you can stop. You can give up when God gives up on you. Forgive as the Lord forgave. You can give up when God gives up on you. You can stop believing when God stops believing in you. You can stop forgiving when God stops forgiving you. You can stop repenting when God stops accepting your repentance. And you know when that is? You know when that is? He hadn't stopped. He's not going to stop. You're going to need some help with this. And you and I, we're going to need some help with this, and we're going to have to keep doing this. But can I tell you something? What I've shown you this morning, there is no more. It is forgiveness and repentance. The path to reconciliation is the most restorative biblical principle in the whole Bible about relationships. In fact, there's a statement this morning. Here's what I believe. Reconciliation, including forgiveness and repentance, are the means by which people are healed. The roadblocks are removed. And the relationships are restored. Reconciliation. Can I do this? Yeah. Because God done it for you and He put His Spirit in you. Can I keep doing it? Yeah. Because God's still doing it for you. And it will bring restoration and reconciliation and healing in your life. Is it easy? No. Is it worth it? Absolutely yes. Yes. Yes, it is. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to pray with you this morning. Because can I tell you what I know from my own life? There have been times when I hadn't been very good at this. There have been times in my life, and there have been times in your life too, I hadn't been very good at this, at removing the roadblocks and forgiving. And there's also been times when I hadn't been very good. You know why? Because I think I'm right. Just ask me. But I got a sense this morning that some of you you've begun to sense something jumping in your spirit because you realize it is within you to forgive. It is within you to repent. It is within you to make it right and to do what you can to make it right because God did it for you. If that's you this morning, and you this morning just want to say, I'm not going to ask you what your situation is. Doesn't matter to me. That's between you and God. I'm just saying this morning, if you're here this morning, you say, yes, Pastor, this message spoke to me, and I want that help of the Spirit that you talked about a few moments ago. I want that help this morning with something and a situation and somebody that it may be marital, it may be work, it may be a child, an adult child that you're having issues with. I don't know what it is, but you this morning say, Pastor, that's me, and I want you to pray with me this morning. Will you stand up right where you are? Come on, stand up right where you are. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, there's some others. Come on, stand up right where you are. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Freedom. Lord, I speak freedom. I speak freedom this morning, God. I speak freedom as these individuals stand up. I thank you that chains are falling off, God. I thank you that chains are falling off, Lord. Chains of unforgiveness are falling off this morning, God. Chains of pride that would keep us from repenting are falling off this morning, God. Chains, Lord, of the wrong idea, the wrong perception, the wrong eyewitness of what happened is falling off this morning, God. Chains of guilt is falling off this morning, God. I thank you that right now, chains are breaking. Chains are breaking. Chains are breaking right now, God. It's falling away. Fathers are restored to daughters, and daughters are restored to fathers, Lord. Marriages are restored. Lord, friendships are being, Lord, the groundwork for friendships being restored is being happening right now, God. I thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray by the power of the Spirit that you would come and help. Help those that need to forgive, empower them to do so, Lord. Help those that need to repent, empower them to do so this morning. We thank you that by your Spirit, you are empowering us to be people of forgiveness and people of repentance and people of reconciliation. Thank you for that power of the Spirit this morning, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, also as they stand, God, there may be some, God, that just need to see a different perspective. They need to see it a little different. Send a godly person, a godly woman, a godly man that can speak into their lives. That can speak into their lives. I thank you and I praise you for it today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're standing, I just want you to raise your right hand. In the Old Testament, when you raise your right hand, it was a symbol that I'm going to receive what's about to be spoken. Raise your right hand. Father, right now, I thank you, Lord, for the power of the Spirit coming right now to empower men and women to forgive and to repent and to reconcile. They will not live in guilt. They will not live in bondage. They will not live in fear. They live in forgiveness and reconciliation and repentance. This morning, I thank you for it, God. I thank you, Lord. Now, I want everybody to stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. And here's what I want to pray over us. Those are individuals that were dealing with a certain issue, a certain situation, and I know they've been empowered to that this morning. What I want to pray over all of us this morning is that we would all, because you understand if you didn't need to stand this morning, you will need what I prayed over them one day. So, Father, my prayer over all of us this morning is that we'd all be people of forgiveness and reconciliation and repentance. Help us, Lord, to ground our reconciliation and the fact that you reconciled us unto you through forgiveness and reconciliation and repentance, God. That would be the motivation. That would be the purpose, God. This morning, Lord, as we have been, as our understanding has been enlightened about what forgiveness is and it's not, and what repentance is and it's not, that we're empowered this morning. So as we go forth, God, I thank you that relationships are going to be healthier, they're going to be restored, they're going to be made fresh and new, Lord, and we are going to be empowered to be people of reconciliation, people who forgive and repent and walk to the foot of the cross. And I thank you and I praise you for it today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Next Sunday, I'm going to share with you one question that if you can get everybody in your family to ask this question, it is guaranteed, money back guarantee. It is guaranteed to reduce stress and tension in your relationships. And I hope you'll be here next week. And bring somebody with you. Until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. I love you this morning.